Today on The Journey.
Some people think God brings you to himself just so he can take you to heaven. If that was the case, he would save you and then kill you. There'd be no reason for you to be here. But he leaves us here for a purpose.
When radical, life-giving change transforms our hearts, we're commissioned to tell others about it. It is the unparalleled privilege of being God's witnesses on earth, and it's our purpose in this great adventure. Today, Ron Moore shows us, from the life of the early church, why our witness is so important and urgent. Before that, please note that we have a timely devotional waiting for you at ronmoore.org. In its pages, you'll rediscover the sense of God's presence that was lost in disappointment or disaster. It's yours for a gift of any amount. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with the message, Changed, Committed to Share, on The Journey.
Working our way through the book of Acts, we're calling this series A Great Adventure, and it is the great adventure of the early church. And we have seen in the first three chapters of the book of Acts, things are changing rapidly. Jesus had been put to death on the cross, then raised from the dead after spending 40 days with his disciples to prove that he was indeed raised from the dead. He ascended into heaven, promising to send the Holy Spirit, and that he did. In Acts chapter 2, the Spirit came and the emboldened believers fearlessly proclaimed the message of Jesus. After Peter's first sermon, 3,000 people trusted in Christ, accepted the message. And then after a miraculous healing of a 40-year-old crippled man grabbed the attention of the crowd, after Peter's second sermon, 2,000 people trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior, and their eternities were set forever. Well, you can imagine that did not sit well with the religious leaders of the day. And so we come today to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, look at verses 2 and 3. The leaders were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. Look at verse 5. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men in the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them, and they begin to question them. They question them in reference to the healing of this crippled man. By what power or what name did you do this? By what power or what name did you heal this crippled man? Before Jesus had left his disciples, when he was walking on earth with them, he told them a time would come when they would be brought before officials, and they would be questioned. Listen to what Jesus told them in Luke chapter 21. He said, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. This will result in your being witnesses to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourself, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. What a great promise. And Jesus always keeps his promise. Look at verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for the act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He, Jesus, is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Look at verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. Now look at the response of the religious leaders. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, and they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. Now think about this. Here's tremendous evidence in the story of the resurrection. The people believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the one they had been waiting for, powerfully proven by the resurrection from the dead. He had been with the people. And now, Jesus continued His healing. If there was a time in the history of the church when the religious leaders could have gone and gotten the body of Jesus and dragged His lifeless body and showed them He was not risen from the dead, right here He is, this would have been the time to do it. This fledgling church would have been snuffed out from the very beginning. But they couldn't do it. Jesus' body wasn't there. He was raised from the dead. While He was on earth, Jesus was the one who healed the sick, caused the blind to see, caused the lame to walk. And now He's still alive. And the miracles that He is still doing, that are being done in His name, demonstrate that His power that He had while on earth, that power is still being shown. The disciples are healing in the name of Jesus. Look again at verse 10. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, this man stands before you healed. Look at verse 22. Just turn over to that. It gives a description of the man. For the man was miraculously healed, was over 40 years old. His handicap was well established. And now he stands there walking. And last week we saw not only walking, but jumping and leaping and praising God. Look at verse 17. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, the religious leaders said, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in His name. They called them in again, and they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourself whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and about what we have heard. We cannot help speaking about what we've seen and about what we've heard. And when Peter and John were released, they went back and they gave the report to the other Christians. And look at the response in verse 24. When the church heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit to the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against His anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles of the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant whom you appointed. They did what your power and your will had decided beforehand should happen. But now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders to the name of your holy servant Jesus. And look at verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. Here in chapter 4, we see a group of people driven to share the message of Jesus. Here are Christians willing to risk imprisonment. They're willing to risk persecution. They're willing to risk death for the privilege of sharing the message of Christ, of telling others about Jesus. Again, look at verse 20. We cannot help speaking about all we have seen and all we've heard. We can't help it. Persecute us if you want. Put us in prison if you will. We cannot help telling others about Jesus. Now I ask you a question. What causes people to have such resolve? What causes a person to reach down into his soul and determine, whatever the cost, I will not back away from sharing Jesus? Why were these men willing to die? Peter would be crucified later on, except he said, I'm not willing to be crucified like Jesus. Crucify me upside down, church history tells us. And John would be exiled on an island, all willing to die for Jesus. What puts the fire in a person's heart to do that? What's the resolve? And is there any way we can have that resolve? Is there any way we can have in our hearts such a burning desire to share Jesus Christ, that whatever the obstacle, whatever people say, no matter what people think, we would say in our hearts, we cannot help sharing Jesus Christ. I see four things in this passage of Scripture that has ignited the hearts of those in Acts chapter 4. And let me share these four things with you in the form of a principle. Here's the first one. Christians who are committed to share the message of Christ, they spend time with Jesus. Look at chapter 4, verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized these were unschooled, ordinary men, and they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. When you spend time with Christ through His Word, through personal devotion, through personal prayer, and through personal worship. And when we spend time with Christ, there is a fire ignited in our hearts. It is the basis for Christian growth. If we're going to be those who are committed to share, we have to spend time with Jesus. Dawson Trotman was a founder of the Navigators. He wrote a little book called Born to Reproduce. His life was about sharing the message of Christ. And in this book, Born to Reproduce, he talks about the aspect of a person who is committed to share. And he says if a person is not willing to share, if they're not committed to share, there are some problems going on in their life. One, they're not in union with Christ. They're not spending time with Christ. Or maybe there's sin in their life. Or maybe they're just immature. Listen to what he says. Whenever you find a Christian who is not leading men and women to Christ, there is something wrong. He may still be a babe. I do not mean that he does not know a lot of doctrine and he's not well informed. I know many people who can argue the pre, the post, the amillennial position and who know much about dispensations, but who are still immature. Paul said of such in Corinth, and then he quotes 1 Corinthians chapter 3, "Brothers, I could not address you as spiritually," Paul says, "but worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready." And then he concludes, "because they were babes, they were immature, incapable of spiritual reproduction." When a person doesn't spend time with Christ, they are immature. They are not growing. They are not capable of spiritual reproduction, and they will not be committed to share the message of Christ. Are you spending time with Jesus? Number two, Christians who are committed to share the message of Christ truly believe the message. Look at chapter 4, verse 12. These disciples, these unschooled, ordinary men who had spent time with Jesus stood up and they said, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." These people knew that if others were going to spend eternity in heaven, it was going to be through Jesus. These people knew if others were going to have a relationship with God, it was going to be through Jesus. These people knew if other people were going to be healed in their life of all kinds of situations, it was going to be through Jesus. They truly believed the message. Do you truly believe that message? If you don't believe it, you're not going to be committed to share. If you do believe it, you should be sharing that message with every fabric of our body, shouldn't we? Salvation is found in no one else. That's the message we have. I graduated with a degree in education, and I graduated after a fall semester. There weren't a lot of teaching jobs. So I started checking out jobs in our little town, checking out the ads in the Perry Daily Journal. And I looked at one that looked pretty good. The pay looked good, and there was exotic travel. About 100-mile radius of Perry, exotic places like Enid and Kingfisher and Ponca City, and that was pretty exotic for me. So I set the appointment, went down to the town square, went in the building, and in 2 minutes, I thought, oh man, why am I here? It was a job about selling vacuum cleaners. And I have nothing against vacuum cleaners. I think they're needed. But I just couldn't put my heart into ringing a doorbell and dumping a bucket of sand on someone's carpet to show them that this vacuum cleaner would work. If you don't believe in something, you're not going to share it. But if you believe in something, you cannot keep from telling others about it. If you really believe that Jesus is the only way, then you will not be able to stop telling others all you've seen and all you've heard as you spend time with Christ. Number three, Christians who are committed to share understand their calling. Christians who are committed to share understand why they are put on earth. They realize that God put them here to share the message of Christ. That is the purpose of our being here. Now, I know we're here to glorify God, but I got to tell you something. In heaven, we're going to be glorifying God forever, and we're going to do it in a perfect way. There's only one thing we will not be able to do when we get to heaven. What is that? Share the message of Christ. There will be no need. Our purpose here is to share the message of Christ. Some people think God brings you to Himself just so He can take you to heaven. If that was the case, He would save you and then kill you. There'd be no reason for you to be here. But He leaves us here for a purpose. Matthew chapter 9. Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like a sheep without a shepherd. Then He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." All around our little town where Laura and I grew up, there were wheat fields. And when the wheat grew in the late spring, the farmers would work from sun up to sundown getting the wheat in. And sometimes during that time, the rains would come and the combines couldn't get out in the fields. What would happen? You see, if the wheat is not harvested, it rots. If the harvest is not brought in, it self-destructs. Jesus one day told His disciples, He said, "Look around you, the fields are ripe for harvest." And He wasn't talking about the wheat. He was talking about the souls of people. One day, we will begin our eternity in heaven. But until then, we are to be those who go out and harvest the eternal crop. Because if the crop is not harvested, what happens? It self-destructs forever, separated from God. We are to be about sharing the message with men, women, and boys and girls that salvation is found in no one else except Jesus Christ. Remember the last words of Christ before He went to heaven? We looked at it a few weeks ago, Acts chapter 1, "But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You will be My witnesses. Let me ask you a question. How many of you are involved in full-time ministry? We are all involved in full-time ministry. I happen to get paid by the church. You happen to get paid by some other job. God is the source of all of our income. And you are a full-time minister. If you're a teacher, you're just disguised as a teacher. But you're a full-time minister. Think about that. God has given you the opportunity to be in the school system, not to teach Shakespeare, not to teach world history, but to tell others about Jesus Christ in the appropriate way. If you're a businessman, you're not there just to sell stuff. You are a full-time minister disguised as a businessman, having opportunities to talk to people that no one else will ever have the opportunity to talk to. Doctors and nurses disguised. Full-time ministers. Just think about it. Doctors and nurses do your best work and people still die. One out of one people die. You're there to tell them about Jesus Christ. Stay-at-home moms. It's not about laundry and meals. That's just what you get to do in order to share the message of Jesus. Your vocation is simply a vehicle to share. Some people are so occupied with their occupation that they miss their true vocation, and that's sharing the message of Christ. How many of you think God loves teachers? Then teachers, go get them. How many of you think Christ died for doctors? Then doctors, go get them. Here's a harder one. How many of you think Jesus died for lawyers? Okay, He did. Lawyers, go get them. We are all full-time ministers. And the people in Acts realized that. They couldn't help sharing a message of Christ. Christians who are committed to share, pray for bold opportunities to share the message of Christ. Look at verse 29. "Now, Lord, consider their hearts. Enable Your servants to speak Your word with great boldness." We don't care if we're persecuted. Just give us the courage to do whatever we need to do. And when we pray for it, God will do that. We as Christians, we've got to be committed to share the message of Christ. I got a tremendous note this week. Oh, it was a great note. It was a wife whose husband didn't come here. And she said, thanks for the In This House campaign. Thanks for the work that all of you did. Thank you for making room for my husband. Man, I read that and said, oh, that's what it's about. It's not about building. It's about making room to share the message of Christ. Remember what happened in New Orleans? People waiting on their homes. People waiting for rescue with the oil spills all around them. People crying out for help, needing to be rescued. People waiting anywhere they could to be rescued. That's spiritually what the world looks like. As individuals, we are search and rescue personnel. We have a message. We have a message of salvation. We can rescue those people if we're willing to share the message. Now, I agree with you. Some people, it's hard to share. But you see that guy over there? You think he needs to be rescued? You think he needs to hear the message? Christ died for him. He really did, didn't he? Jesus died for that man. And all those around you who have that same message, don't come near me with the gospel. And we are to pray, God, give us the opportunity to share the message of Christ. Let's commit ourselves to that today by thinking of what Jesus did and then being willing to share the message. Salvation is found in no one else. If we believe that, then we can't help speaking about all we've heard and all we've seen.
And please stay with us. Ron will be back with an Easter announcement right after this. An awareness of God's presence is a source of great strength and stability in difficult times. But when He seems silent or absent, our pain is magnified. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you're there just now. For times like these, Ron has prepared a devotional guide to help restore that feeling of God's closeness. It's called Unshakable Faith in a Shaken World. Packed with eternal truth from God's Word, it'll gently lead you into His presence. Unshakable Faith in a Shaken World is yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron for an Easter announcement.
Hey, I have a special announcement for all our Pittsburgh area listeners. We'd love to have you join us at the Bible Chapel in the South Hills, that's in McMurray, for Journey to the Cross. Journey to the Cross is a walk-through reflection of our Lord's final hours, and this is a great event for adults and for children as well. Actually, it's a very hands-on experience. You can count the 30 coins, like those used to betray Jesus. You can also hold in your hands replicas of the nails used to pierce the Savior's hands. And for a unique experience, you'll be able to smell the incense used to prepare the body of Jesus for burial. Join us at our South Hills campus for Journey to the Cross, which runs from April 16th to April 18th from 6 to 9 p.m. and on Friday, Good Friday, April 19th from 10 in the morning till 6 in the evening. Then at 7:30 p.m. on Good Friday, we're going to ask you to join us for a special musical concert that tells the story of Christ's passion. Both Journey to the Cross and the concert are free. They're open to everyone. We hope you bring your friends and your family and your neighbors, especially those who need to experience the power of the gospel message. We also want to invite you to our Easter weekend services at the Bible Chapel. You can join us on Saturday night, April 20th, either at 4 or 6 p.m., that's 4 or 6 p.m., or on Easter Sunday. We have three services at 8 o'clock, one at 9:45, one at 11:30. Each of these events are at our South Hills campus, 300 Gallery Drive in McMurray. And for more information, you can go to our website, BibleChapel.org. That's BibleChapel.org. We hope to see you there. And as always, thank you for joining us on the journey.
And we also want you to have a copy of Ron's insightful devotional, Unshakable Faith in a Shaken World. It'll help strengthen or rekindle your faith after pain or loss. Unshakable Faith in a Shaken World is yours for a gift of any amount, and you can get it at ronmoore.org. Again, our address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. And by the way, we'd like to invite Pittsburgh area listeners to visit our church website at BibleChapel.org. There you'll find information about our area campuses and their ministries. They're located in Robinson, Rostraver, South Hills, Washington, and Wilkinsburg. Again, that address is BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, please tell your friends and family about our program. Also, keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.